This morning, you've got to help me just a little while. Out of Genesis chapter 3, if you've got a Bible, Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. This is one of the most important scriptures or chapters in the Bible. If I could choose one Old Testament book that I would tell anybody they need to be found in and stick to learn would be the book of Genesis. Yes. Everything in this Bible runs through the book of beginnings. And Genesis chapter 3, it deals with the fall of man. And we find, I won't take time to read all that scripture, but the Bible said in verse 7, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden and was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree where I have commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave of me of the tree, and I did eat." The Lord God said unto the woman, "What is it that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." I want to preach, if God will help me, just a little while on where you at. God did not ask Adam where he is at because he did not know. God knew where Adam was. God knows where you're at. God knows where I'm at. There's nothing God don't know. He knows it all. From the beginning to the end, everything in between. God knows all things. God knows everything. God knew that he has got sin before he ever made him. God knew what he'd do after he sinned. God knew what it'd take for man to be saved from sin. God set everything up. There was nothing in the turn of God that he did not know. God knows this morning you. God knows your heart. God knows everything about you. God knows everything about me. Amen. But here God, the very first word that God ever said to a sinner was, "Adam, where art thou?" Now, I'll tell you why I think he asked him that. He was calling him to accountability. It wasn't to find out where he was. It was also to bring Adam to the fact of letting him see, hey, God, or alert him to the fact that you're not where you was before. Right. And I think that's what he's reasoning here of God, was to bring him to accountability. To give an account before God. You know, every man is responsible to God. Every man is accountable to God himself. And I'm telling you this morning, friend, when we get down to it, there's nobody going to escape the accountability that they have before God. Only Adam can answer God. Only Adam can say, "Where is that?" He can't nobody answer for him. He had to answer for himself. Amen. And you don't have to answer for yourself. I got to answer for myself. That's a fact. I don't answer for you and you don't answer for me. God didn't say, "Hey, Eve, where's your husband?" He said, "Adam, where art thou? Where are you at?" That's a good question this morning. Where are we at with God? Where are we at in our own heart? Where are we at in the faith? Where we are at in the fellowship? Where are we at in faithfulness? Where are we at? Well, God knows where we at. God knows where our heart's at. God knows where our mind's at. God knows where our feet at. But I say, where are you at? Amen. God says, "Adam, where art thou? Where are you at, Adam? Where are you at?" You know why I asked him that? Because they had been meeting. They said that he had met with God in the cool of the day. Amen. God and Adam had been meeting. Why did God create man? God created man to fellowship with him. God created man that he might commune with him. God created man that he might fulfill his will in man. The greatest part of any of the creation of God is man. That's the greatest thing that God ever created was a man.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. It's the greatest lesson for me. You think God created you to destroy you? God didn't create you to destroy you. God created you that you might have fellowship with him. God created you that you might fulfill his purpose in life. Amen. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about Elohim. I'm talking about the true and only living God. Amen. He made man. He made him in his own image. Thank God there was nothing my friend made like man was made. And he put in his own nostrils on the breath of life. And man was on the crown of his creation. Amen. The very crown of his creation was man. Amen. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Isn't it amazing if you think about the human body, just how God has made us, made in his likeness? Amen. Thank God, buddy, when he made man, he said, praise God. Right there was, and the name Adam. Hey, man, that's the man that come from dirt. Hey, man, God formed with his own hands. Nobody helped God make him. He's formed by his own hands. Made him exactly the way he wanted him. Made him exactly the way God pictured. And made him exactly the way he wanted him. And breathed his nostrils and breath of life. And man became a living soul. It was a crown of God's creation. And then in chapter 3, man willfully disobeyed God. Willfully. It was his choice. Somebody said, does a man have choice? Adam did. God put all the trees in the garden there and said, thou mayest eat freely of every tree that the Lord God has made, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat it. In the day thou eat, thou shalt die. One tree. One. One tree. God put a stipulation on one tree. God says, us, don't take it. Don't eat of it. Don't take it. This man was made perfect. He was made innocent. He was made without sin. He was perfect. Perfect. If you said, what about everything God made was good? But when he made man, he made him in a perfect way.
Right.
Amen. He made him after his own image, and he said, this is my perfect man. Amen. But he put man in a garden. He didn't make him a robot.
Right.
He made him a human. Amen. He made him a human being that he could fellowship with him, that he might talk to him. And then he gave him a wife. Amen. He needed a helpmeet. And he couldn't find one in the animals that God created. And so God put him in a deep sleep and took a rib and made a woman and brought it to the man.
Right.
Said, Adam, right here, this is your, she's your helpmeet. She's going to help you. Amen. I mean, what else could he want? He's got a wife. He's got paradise.
Yeah.
He's living in paradise. Living in the glory of God. Yeah. They were naked and were not even ashamed. Their nakedness didn't bother them. They was perfect. He's in the glory of God. They didn't have one bit of sin in them.
Right.
God made him like that. And then one day, here comes a serpent and beguiled her. And you know the story. She took of the fruit. It was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to desire to make one wise. And the devil lied to her, and she took of the fruit and ate. Gave her to her husband. He didn't eat. That's what the book says. There's all kind of speculations on why he ate. But the fact of it was, the finality of it was, he ate in disobedience to the God of heaven that told him not to do it. You said it wasn't too bad. Well, the act of disobedience brought sin into the world. And death by sin, so death passed upon all men, and men began to die. The main death was that he died spiritually. He died toward God. He didn't have no life to God. Sin had corrupted that way, and sin had brought, my friend, a division and separation from him and God. And that's why God said, I'm giving account. Where you at? I'm giving account. Where you at? No, listen to this. No man ever gets saved without God confronting him. God's got to confront you with conviction and get saved. Amen. You don't walk in a church building and sit on a church pew and hear a church choir and hear a church preacher and just say, well, I think I want to be like one of them. There's got to be the dealings of God.
Amen.
Amen. What Adam do? The first thing he does, sowed fig leaves. He made himself an apron, made her an apron.
Yeah.
And tried to cover themselves because they knew they were naked.
Right.
Now I'll tell you the kind of apron you'll make. The one that'll fit you. A religious apron is a type of works. It's a type of trying to cover up, trying to get back to God by something I can do to cover up, to keep myself from being seen by God. See, that's what religion tells you. You can make back to God, you can get back to God, but you can't get back to God. That's not the way to God. We got so many people attend the Baptist church and other churches, and all they got on is a fig leaf apron that never has satisfied God. And they put that apron on and they sin. We're naked. You know why? For the first time, their conscience inside them was awakened to the fact that they had... Listen, the devil said, you'll know good and evil like God. The thing of it is, they might have known good, but they didn't know how to perform it. And they might have known evil, but they didn't know how to stop it. And when sin came in, and they covered themselves in aprons, God says, Adam, where are you? Every man's got to be confronted. Listen, the only one that can answer where you're at today is you. You're the only one that can say, this is where I'm at in my heart. This is where I'm at in my place. In fact, the word where, if somebody says where, it just simply means in a place. What place? At or in a place? Where are you at? Where? That's a good question. Where are you at? Adam, where are you at? Give an account. Tell me, Adam, give an account of where you're at. And then he began talking and he said, well, the woman that thou gavest me of me, she gave me of the fruit and I did eat. The woman. It's the woman's fault. That's what he's basically saying. You know what? You will never, listen to me, you will never get saved by ever blaming anybody else. You will never get right with God by blaming anybody else. I don't care if you're saved and you're blaming somebody else. You will never get right with God long as you're blaming the woman or somebody else. Never. You've got to give an account. I tell you, we can have old time meeting if people would just give an account of themselves to God. And then he asked the woman, and she said, well, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. She blamed the serpent. You know, I was thinking about that. The devil told Eve, he said, has God said,
yeah,
thou shalt not eat of every tree of the garden? And she said, he has said the tree in the midst of the garden, he said, don't touch it. She said that. Is that what she said? Excuse me. I'm sorry about that. The woman said unto the servant, we may eat the every fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit tree in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. That's what she said to him. I cannot tell you whether she touched it or not, but she had to before she ate it. You want me to tell you a little hideology here? I basically think that Adam said, Eve, don't you touch that tree. The commandment, come Adam, not Eve. Eve was under Adam. Adam had to give it. He didn't ask Eve where she was. He asked Adam. The woman being deceived was in the transgression. The man wasn't deceived. He wasn't misled. The woman got deceived by the devil. But Adam wasn't deceived. He done it on purpose.
Yeah.
He done it willfully. That's why you and me both and everybody in here and everybody that's been born since Adam is a product of the Adamic race.
Yeah.
It's the original sin that God judges. Get this. Listen. The original sin that Adam created, he judged the whole human race from that sin.
Yeah.
That's why he said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because he judged the whole human race because of original sin.
Yeah.
That's
right.
You have sins because of the original sin. Why did John the Baptist say the axe is laid to the root of the tree? It wasn't the limbs he was trying to cut. He had to get down to the root. The root of the problem in me and you is because we're at the earth is because Adam sinned. One man's sin brought disobedience to a human race. And I've been asking the Lord in my own personal life, where am I at with you? Where am I at? Where am I at with God? I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. I know I'm in Christ. I know I'm saved. I know I'm in Christ. But where am I at in the faith? In believing? Where am I at in the fellowship? Where am I at? Where am I at in the freedom of the Spirit? Where am I at? You know, who art thou? Give an account. What between God and Adam? God had mercy on them and clothed them. He took two innocent animals and killed them. And took the skins of them animals and put clothes on Adam and Eve. That's what He done for you. He became that animal that was slain on the cross that He can clothe us with righteousness. That's right, isn't it?
Amen.
The only hope they had, the only hope we had, is Christ died for us. Amen. That He might save us and put in us righteousness that we might be clothed before the Father. Amen.
Amen.
Right. There's a lot of fig leaf people in the Baptist and Methodist and Presbyterian Pentecostal churches. You got your little apron on. It's probably got their tag on it and say spiritual. But the fact of it is there's no spirituality in the works of men. It's in the grace of God. It's in the grace of God. I just wanted to ask you this morning, where are you at? Where are you at? You know what? I won't be where I'm supposed to be with God. I won't be where I'm supposed to be with man. I won't be where I'm supposed to be. Amen. I want you to be where you're supposed to be. That's right. Amen. God bless you, boys. Amen. I want y'all to be where you're supposed to be.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Where art thou? Where are you at? Let's stand this morning.